Thank you, Ms. Joy. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. We'll be in 145, Psalm 145 today. And this week in our spring campaign is going to be searching for fulfillment. And we'll be preaching on that topic, but I can't help but begin the study, and even for myself, and the Lord is so good to, as I put all these things together, it all landed in just a way where on a Sunday when it's Palm Sunday, and if you know what Palm Sunday is and means, what a day of fulfillment that was when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And for an old country boy, there's some strong things that happened that day. I told my Sunday school class this morning, as Jesus prepares to enter into the city in the triumphant entry, he sends his disciples after a small colt, and one that had never been ridden before. And folks, I just want you to understand, Jesus didn't do that because he couldn't walk, or Jesus didn't do that because he couldn't find a colt or a mule or a donkey that had already been broken, but because of fulfillment of Zechariah 14, that was what God had prophesied way ahead of time would be. Someone never had sat upon this colt. No one had ever ridden it in, and it just showed the power of God in his fulfillment. As he headed to fulfill Genesis 3:15 and to die on Calvary and to pay for our sin debt, as Jesus went in total fulfillment of his Father's will, as he headed in, just like, again, there's so many things that he fulfilled that day just heading into Jerusalem. And even when he arrives, he casts over the tables of the money changers and again fulfills prophecy, quoting out of the Psalms that his house was a house of prayer, not one that was going to be one of money changers, of one that was going to be a filthy lucre, of one that would be one that really deceived the people and stole from them right there in God's house. And so the Lord Jesus comes into the town, and what fulfillment we see in Palm Sunday. And folks, I don't know about you, but I mean, listen, those are folks that were there. When we get to the place that we realize that Jesus is Lord, you know what those folks did when they realized that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even though he was not ready to take that position over a lost crowd? He wasn't going to take the position of King of Kings yet. He was going to go be the prophesied that offering, that lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He had to do that to redeem the people back into himself before he stood in that position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That same Jesus, I'm thinking to myself, man, what a day of fulfillment. But he comes to a place where as he walks up those steps and all those people are crying out, you really realized that the people that realized he was Messiah, they started to take off their jackets. And it started with his disciples, and they threw the jacket on the colt and said, get on that. And then the ones that couldn't put their jacket on the colt began to lay it under the colt's feet, where the colt. And then when they had taken off all they could, they weren't like the rest of the world. They still needed to be covered up. So when they had taken off all their outer garments, they began to cut down palms and to lay in the street all that they could. And if I could say, they were rolling out the red carpet for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm just going to tell you and just kind of skip to the end. True fulfillment of your life is when you roll out the red carpet for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to the altar of your heart. I don't believe in lordship salvation. You don't have to make Jesus and throne him on the part of your heart to be truly saved. You get saved because of what he did, not because of what you do. You simply trust in him. But friend, there's something that happens inside the believer that completes the fulfillment of prophecy of the Lord. When I, in surrender and obedience, roll out the red carpet for him and said, I'm just, listen, these hands are your hands. These feet are your feet. This body is your body. This mouth is your mouth. You take it where you want. You made it. You can have it. Amen. Now that's just an introduction this morning. I was getting a little wound up there. Psalms 145, I just want to preach on fulfillment. I have some things I want to make sure that I want to read. The 1828 Dictionary has two different definitions of the word fulfillment. I want to preach one of them today out of the scripture. But the second one, again, is what we've just been talking about. When we talk about fulfillment, there are things, it's filling full something. I'll say it like this. This is my definition, not Webster's. But fulfillment is based on being filled or full of something that is meant to be in you. It's a simple word, a three-part word that's jammed together, meaning that God desires to fill me, to make me feel full. The whole emptiness that man feels in their life is first because they don't have a Savior. They're not saved, and so they're missing a part of themselves. They were created in the image of God, with three parts of God being the three pieces of God, the spirit, soul, and the body. And when a man is not saved, he has one part. The spirit of man is dead in its trespasses and sin, and it needs to be revived, or as the scripture says, quickened unto God. And for us to be whole, to feel fulfilled, to even start down that road, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and be saved. We can't be whole or really be what God ever created us to be until we know Him as Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God comes in and fills an empty place in us. He goes on. I mean, I think about this so many times. You know, the world teaches us self-fulfillment. And I won't speak much of it today because I think, first of all, you need to lay a foundation of what something is before you preach what it ain't. All right? Self-fulfillment is something I'll probably talk about tonight and try to destroy that thought, because the world teaches and preaches completion, starting and ending all inside of me. And I'm just going to tell you that there was no self-fulfillment in me. I searched for self-fulfillment in the things and in my plans and things that I thought could bring me happiness. Even as a saved man, fulfilling that empty place and being saved, I sought after a good home. I sought after a good job. I sought after all the things that I thought would bring me happiness. But it wasn't until I realized that I could roll out the red carpet and I could say, this body, you know, Lord, I know You made it for something bigger than the things I've tried to employ it in. God, You made this mouth for something bigger than what I talk about. Lord, You made these hands to do things that you've taught me things. And Lord, I don't want to use it on the things that don't matter anymore. God, I want to use it on the things that You want me to build. I want to do the things that You want me to do. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it changed my whole world when I left that self-fulfillment and tried to bring in or prophesy for myself what I thought happiness was. This book is a book of prophecy about the Son of God. And if we would just get in on His plan and His will, boy, what fulfillment we would find in this life. In Psalms 145, we find that this fulfillment, think about this. Sometimes we try to find that what will give us joy. All right? We think this. Sometimes we can't find the thing that we get upset because the thing that we thought should bring us joy, we can't let go of it. You know, the world is full of people. It's actually full of Christians that found something that they thought would bring them joy, and they will not give that to God. If you don't believe that, look at Jonah. Jonah, I mean, we live in a world, and I know the world is constantly bringing up things about being prejudiced. And Jonah wasn't prejudiced against a color. He was prejudiced against a people that had brought their armies and attacked God's people over and over again, had taken some of them captive and killed others. And Jonah was so mad with Nineveh and would not go and do the will of God because he would not surrender his own will to God's will. He tried to run from God and find fulfillment in everything else. He thought he could hide from God. I don't know where you are today, but I want to preach on fulfillment out of the scripture. And some of you are sitting in God's house and you think you can hide the thing that you've decided, this is going to make me happy, and I know God ain't happy about it. And you're sitting in God's house like you can hide it from Him. You've come to God's house and you're listening on the radio and you think, man, you know what? If I could just, I'll take a part of this God thing. I'll apply the pieces of God so I can escape hell. I'll apply the principles of God so that I can have a family. I'll apply the, you'll go just so far. But listen, folks, fulfillment requires you emptying things out and letting God have His will and way. You know, all these things, the first definition that fulfills prophecy would be from the 1828 dictionary, accomplishment, completion as the fulfillment of prophecy. This book is a fulfillment of prophecy. And the wonderful blessing of being a believer and really knowing that Jesus is the Lord God Almighty is that there are prophecies yet to be fulfilled. Hey, folks, I stand ready this morning to be raptured from the pulpit as Jesus Christ stands ready to come back for His church. I'm a preacher realizing that if I don't get it all in, it'll be okay because it's in His time and in His will. But boy, I would love to be the one that preached a message and called for an invitation, and the last soul that needed to be saved would step out the aisle and come down, and one of these altar workers would work with them. And when they trusted in Jesus Christ, that mighty intercessor that stands between God and us, and He accepts that one in, when they call upon His name, listen, that would be some kind of day. If it was this morning, it was this time, it was when the King was coming into Jerusalem, and we're celebrating that on a day like this, wouldn't it be fulfilling for the Christian this morning for Jesus? We hear the shout, we hear the trump, and Jesus come back for His own and take us to be with Him. The problem in our lives is too many times we're looking for some kind of fulfillment that really wasn't meant for the Christian. Hey folks, I'm as full up as I can be today, and the one thing I'm looking for is Jesus to take me home to be with Him. Hey, folks, we got to get in His book and walk with Him. But listen, accomplishment, is there not enough fulfilled prophecy in the book for you to realize not only that the book is true, but the God of this book is true, and that He should be followed by the letter? He even says to us that if we love Him, and I preached some of it last week, that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Say, fulfillment, preacher. I thought you were going to preach on fulfillment. I thought it'd be a little bit softer than this morning. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, my heart is full. I've searched the book for what it is to be filled. I've searched the book this week for what it is to have fulfillment. And over again, I found it in Him. Over and over again, I found that the times that He said He would do something, He did it. I dare you to go look for any other man that said that He would lay His life down and in 3 days He'd raise it up again. I dare you to find somebody that said it and then did it. I dare you to find somebody. You'll look for good men. You'll find men that laid their life down for other men, but you won't find a man that stood up under his own power after 3 days and now sits at the right hand of God. In Psalms 145, we find here David is writing a psalm of praise. The second definition I wanted to read you is the one that it makes fulfillment this second. It actually is the first one inside the Webster's 1828 dictionary. The first definition that you'll come to is the achievement of something. The achievement of something. And that's how we think of fulfillment. When we look for fulfillment, we look for something to be achieved. And that's how the world talks about, see, fulfillment in prophecy, God is doing that. That's not my fulfillment. That's Him fulfilling something for me. And He has so many times. But for us, we have a desire. God created us with a desire to not only have Him fulfill things, but for us to fulfill things for Him. We have a desire to be used of God. We have a desire to walk with Him. We have a desire to be what He wants us to be. But too many times we let the desires of our own heart change these things. Look, the achievement of something. These are the three things that it says. Desired. We're going to try to achieve something that is desired, promised, or predicted. Fulfillment is the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. And if you can't see where I'm going this morning, you got blinders on. Amen. I'm not trying to be coy with you this morning. I just want you to see God for who He is. I want you to realize He's always been good, whether you believe it or not. I want you to realize that God is God. And when we get around to putting Him in first place, we'll find a place of fulfillment that we never, never, never could have even imagined. Think about this. Think about self-fulfillment under this definition. Oh, desire would be great, all right? Whatever my self-desires would be. How about this? How about things promised? Things I promise myself. Amen? You know who you are. You don't even keep the promises you make to other people. How about this one? The things I predict. Amen? How'd that work out with presidents? How does that work out in all these different things? I mean, I'm glad that all the things that I've predicted would happen. I mean, I liked this girl in second grade, and I'm glad I didn't marry that one. I predicted that one way down the road. God took care of me. Amen? You say you like girls in second grade? You didn't? All right, we'll just move on from there. Look at Psalm 145. David's psalm of praise. We're going to read most of the chapter here. Begin in verse 1 with me. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all and his tender mercies over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and is holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon his name and call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Look at verse number 14 with me. I want to say number one, that God fulfillment begins even in the 1828 dictionary. For the tape room, the title today will be Godly Fulfillment. Godly Fulfillment. Too many times we take off on a tangent and we realize that words are used so many different ways. One of the greatest things about the word fulfillment that I learned in the English language is you can spell it two different ways and it is still right. Amen? There's not a whole lot of words like that are still left around. You know, back in George Washington's day, you could spell things how you wanted to. You know, drop an extra E on it or an extra L and it didn't really matter. But now we have English teachers. Right? Somebody had to set. Listen, I'm not saying they're the ones that set that in order, but somebody did something along the way. But you know, this word fulfillment, whether you call it, you know, two L's or one L on the word fill, it really is just different nations or people in the English language. You say, well, why is that important? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'd like to drop an extra L on mine for the Lord. Amen. And just remember in my life every time that the world can drop off L if they want to. But true fulfillment to me is for the word fill to be full in my life. I want to be filled. My God is so good. He's so merciful. This chapter is a chapter of praise from someone who knows God and has walked with him. Someone that was not always perfect in that psalmist David, he didn't always live perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. You know why God loved him so much? And really, I mean, I'm just going to tell you today. You say, well, did God love David more than he does me? No, but I just want to tell you, when you reciprocate love, All right, there's a closer walk. There's a closer fellowship. There's more common ground. And David had a heart, and I would couple that with desire. So number one today, I want to speak to you, number one, about fulfillment. It's desire. Do you know most of the world is completely caught up in only one phase of fulfillment? They are constantly trying to fulfill the desires of their flesh. There are some of them that even try to fulfill the desires of their mind. Instead of trying to have godly wisdom, they try to fill their mind full of knowledge, thinking that if they just could know some things, then maybe that would lead them to a place to feel even more filled. There are people today that we could go through the list of things, and when we talk about transgenderism and those that are homosexual, those that are, again, according to the scripture, sodomite, do you know those people are just hunting fulfillment? They have sought fulfillment in the wrong place. They have run the desires of the flesh all the way out with the natural use of the body, and they've come to a place where they are still seeking fulfillment. But that's where fulfillment's found. That will never fulfill someone. That's why we constantly see it changing. I mean, even 20 years ago, you didn't hear anybody talking about this transgender business, and they didn't know what gender they were. Now it has gone past a fleshly, sexual thing now to, I don't even know, well, if I can't find fulfillment in this body, maybe I should have a different one. So they're going to change the flesh so that they can fulfill the desire that they think will bring them fulfillment. Fulfillment is never something that God intended us to find in the flesh. It's when the flesh is yielded to the Spirit that we can truly find fulfillment. The desire of the body, think about this, God is the maker of the body. He must care about it because he knelt down and he made it with his own two hands. And then he breathed into that body the breath of life. He wanted us desperately to have a body so that we could serve him. And even in our salvation, he had to put a body made like unto ours on so that he could feel the emotions and the cuts and the bruises and the beating and the finally the last breath going out of the body to be able to redeem us back into himself. So the body itself is not necessarily wicked, but when we give ourselves over totally to the desires of it, we will never find fulfillment. And this world seeks it. This world seeks it in that body. Look at the scripture with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that are bowed down, be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing." God is the maker of man. Do you know that even when we really want to walk with God, you know one of the things that the Lord Jesus did in his body to fulfill all righteousness in his earthly life was to tell the body no and to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights. You know, I mean, beyond all the things we could talk about that the flesh desires, folks, if you don't feed that thing, even today, you watch the clock because you want at high noon to get something in your belly. Because it's your natural urge. Rather than the Spirit pushing off the flesh and saying, "Well, we're in God's word and we're in God's house. We'll let God finish before we go get something to eat." Hey, if we're not careful, we'll let this fleshly body control us and we'll let it override our mind. But every time when we want to get in tune and when we truly are going to seek fulfillment, we have to deny the flesh what it wants and really focus. You say, "Well, I don't know about that. You mean I got to stop eating?" Listen, I realize people have all kinds of health problems. But one of God's ways for us really to walk with him and to hear from him is to make and give, say, "No, flesh, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek his word and his will." Everybody, you can read every biography under the sun of men that truly walked with the Lord and they had power with him. And they put off natural food because they had meat that others did not know of, and it was from Almighty God. They feasted upon the Word of God and walked with God and prayed with God, and they put off the things of the body, because when the body finally quit screaming, they heard from Almighty God. They were in a place where they walked with Him. You say, well, you're making fasting. Listen, fasting never saved anybody, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are men, and including my Lord, who have practiced fasting. And it is something, if we are truly going to find fulfillment, we have to take the desires of the flesh and make it be quiet. And we have to look for the desire of Almighty God. There are too many people. God's book is full of His will, revealed will. But when we get down to the nitty gritty of what God wants from me and what He wants, and I'm past the book, I'm going soul winning, I'm going to church, I'm doing what You've asked of me, God, I'm doing the revealed will of God. God, what's next? I want to fulfill this need in my heart, in my soul, but I haven't heard from You, and I've read Your word, and I'm doing everything that I know to do. Then cut off the body for a little while. Cut off the flesh from eating for a little while. And tune in to Almighty God and say, God, I'm listening. God, I'm listening for You. You know that this fulfillment of the body, the Bible says in verse number 16, Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. The ludicrous thing that people do, but even beyond this, the craziest thing a child of God can do is go out looking to the world's handout to find fulfillment. You'll never find fulfillment in drugs. You'll never find fulfillment in alcohol. You're never going to find fulfillment in a bar room. You're never going to find fulfillment, child of God or not a child of God. You're never going to find fulfillment in some place. You'll find momentary happiness, and at best, according to the scripture, for a season. You say, how long is that for? The last I counted, in Florida it's a little longer, but everywhere else it's like 3 months. Okay, because we don't get all of the seasons here, right? Hey, I'm just here to tell you, God has got a hand full of what will fill you up the right way. He can satisfy the desires of every living thing. Do you know we got chickens in the backyard? All right, they're just little bitty chickens, all right? I mean, little teeny things. And you know, we can feed them, and they love the food that somebody manufactured and ground it all up, and I'm not sure what's in it, and I hope it ain't chickens, but whatever it is, I feed it to them. All right? And they love that stuff. But you know what they like more? When I give them a brand new piece of ground, and I move that cage over a little bit, and they go to digging inside the earth for all the bugs and the grubs and everything that God made them to want. The things that God wants to fulfill their life with. They like the food that I can give from my hand. But you know what? They'll leave that pan of food that I left for them, and they'll start scratching and digging for what God put in there for them. And the problem is, there's just way too many Christians that are looking for somebody else's handout, something that the world manufactured to fill our time. Hey, folks, I could pick up a phone, and you know what? God gave you a book to fulfill your time and your needs and your longings. And too many times you look to Google to fill your needs and your answers. Instead of going to God, you're going to look, instead of looking in His Word for all the things that we desperately need in this life, instead of looking to Him, instead of praying and waiting and fasting on Him, we'll just go out and do it ourselves. We'll get, as Pastor Carter calls the phone, a magic box. And we'll look to the answers when God gave us a blessed book, that we can find all the desired needs of the body, because God has given it to us. It's at His fingertips. Why are we looking everywhere else for it? Second of all, I want you to see promised. You know, the achievement of something not only desired, but something promised. You know, God has promised so much to the believer. This area of promise is something that God did throughout the Old Testament and continues to do for the New Testament Christian. There are things that God says that when you do this, it shall happen. But then there's other things for the Christian life that if I'll follow Him, if I'll be true, if I'll stay separated, if I do this, if there's a bunch of ifs in this book, and I'm just going to tell you, folks, they're conditional promises of an Almighty God. You know, salvation God made for every man. Not some Calvinistic idea that certain people can be saved and certain people can't. That's a bunch of garbage. This book says that Jesus came and died on Calvary to pay for everybody's sin. And if they, we'll just call out upon his name, look at the scripture with me. It says here in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Do you realize that the Lord is always nigh unto us? Even though, like the prodigal son, we run from him, God is always waiting to take us back if we're his child. He's always ready to bring us back into the fold and to wipe us off and to heal us up and to get us back into his work. Nobody has gone too far for God. You may think in your head that God can't heal, but you just forgot how nigh your God really is unto thee. And that if you will just turn and really fall in love with him and just roll out the red carpet and say, you know, what people come to the hospital and they need healing, they just yield themselves to the surgeon. They just yield themselves to the doctor. They yield to someone who knows the body better than I do, and they say, I just need to be fixed. I just need to be made whole. I just need to be worked on. And hey, if a Christian would just come to God and say, I don't even know what's wrong with me, God. I don't realize how far I am from you. I don't even know what I need. But God, you're the maker of this body. I know that you're nigh unto me, and I'm calling upon your name, not only for just salvation, but I want you to save me from myself. Hey, folks, we desperately need to walk with a God who always is walking just around, just with us and always nigh us. Sometimes in our Christian life, we feel like we're so far from God. He's so far from me, I can't even reach into him. He doesn't speak to me like he did before. Well, what are your desires set on? Things you know God is not happy with? You may feel that God is so far away from you because you have set your mark so far away from him to find happiness. How about if you tear up what you think is going to make you happy and say, God, I don't even know. I don't even know. But God, I just desire that you fulfill. Make me, fill me. God, heal me. God, be my God. When was the last time that you went to him and just said, God, I want to walk. I want it to be like it was the day I got saved. So many people talk about the load of sin that fell off. So many people talk about what it felt like to be a brand new Christian and to know that you were in fellowship with God. There's a God that walks nigh thee that can take you back and give you that same feeling that you felt when you were a brand new Christian. The wonderful blessing of being an aged Christian is I know so much more than I did back then. I know so much more about his goodness. I know so much more about his graciousness. You know, this chapter is written by a Christian that he, under the inspiration of God, just told us all these gracious things. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Do you know, if we're not careful, we'll think that God is not a tender and merciful God. We'll think that he's angry at us, but he's a God that's nigh us. Now, God is angry at sin every day. He's mad at wickedness. He is storing up his wrath, but he's a long-suffering God. And while there is still time, if you will turn to him, he will use you. He will use you more than you ever thought you could be used if you would just surrender to his promises and his word. Think about this. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is holy in all his ways and works. And that verse, in verse 17, is followed up with, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. I believe we live in a day, you say, well, why don't we see more Christians surrendered, soul winning, and walking with God? Because so many people have turned away from the truth of Jesus Christ. They worship some Jesus, but they've added baptism. They've added work, salvation to Jesus Christ. They've added words or taken away words from his word, and they don't really have the truth anymore. You say, why is the world, even Christians, so many people in the world seeking fulfillment? How are you going to find fulfillment? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, things that are different are not the same. And you cannot find fulfillment outside of the truth of Jesus Christ. And the truth of Jesus Christ are found in his word, and his word for the English-speaking people is the King James Bible. It's the truth. Folks, I'm telling you, you say, why is the world in such a mess that it is? You mark her down, folks, and you go back in America's history, and when America started to produce perversions of the scripture and we left the truth is when America declined. It's when we started losing battles. It's when we started losing our focus. It's when we started to drift. And once a country that one time we could call, man, people came here for fulfillment. Now we're looking to the world for fulfillment. Now we're looking to everything else because we don't know where it is because we left the truth. Lastly, let me say this, the predicted. Look at this. You know, the Lord has some predictions for us. Look at verse number 19. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. You know, there's a predicted end for those that, what you do with Jesus Christ, what you do with the truth, there's a predicted end for that. For those that accept Christ as their Savior, there is heaven, and then there'll be heaven on earth when the kingdom of God becomes the kingdom of our Lord here on earth. And I mean, listen, everybody that stood on that day when they thought everything was being fulfilled and they praised his name and said, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. Others cried out, Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee is coming to Jerusalem. And they screamed out and they were screaming out and they knew that the prediction that had come from the past, they thought this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is him. They thought he was going to set up his kingdom right there. Folks, the predicted end for all people is that Jesus, that moment, instead of becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he became the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He walked into Jerusalem and laid his life down and then took it up again. He's seated at the right hand of heaven, and in any moment, all the prophecy, all the predictions have been fulfilled except for one, and that's him coming back for his people. He's coming back to take us to be with him, and then he's going to come back and set up heaven on earth. Folks, I'm just going to tell you that prediction, but that prediction is right here in the scripture. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. You know, this old body, the older I get, the more I realize it runs down. We worked and we were trying to get everything ready for the dinner show, and I was hanging some curtains and different things and had to be on my knees and working. I had to drill and everything. A preacher from down south was preaching chapel, and you know, he came in and walked in, and I'm drilling on a ladder, you know, and dust flying in my face, and I'm, hey, how you doing, preacher? You know, but at the end of the day, man, my back hurt, my knees hurt, things that I didn't think would ever hurt when I was young started hurting. And they didn't stop. They're still hurting right now. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. Hey, can I tell you this morning? Everything winds down. But that same Jesus that came to preserve my soul, to save me, and to give me everlasting life, one day he can fix this body too. For them that love him, he can preserve this too. I can't believe all the things that God can do, but listen, you know, all those for me, I realized that I was either going to, this body, this soul, this spirit, it was going to either go one place, it was going to go to heaven where God wanted me to be, or it was going to spend eternity where the wicked will be judged for eternity. Death, hell, and the grave. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I decided a long time ago I didn't want to spend eternity there. I realized there was a predicted end for those that would seek fulfillment in themselves, in this world, and in the devil. But over here, when I sought fulfillment in Jesus Christ, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, when I sought fulfillment in his predicted end, I found fulfillment. You know, I never had a sleepless night. I could trust in that. I know that I know that I know I'm on my way to heaven, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. I realized that I could have a family and do it God's way, and I could be happy. You know, I realized that God could bless my life, and he could use me, not for what I thought I could do, but for what he planned for me all along. And if he could do that for me, just some old country boy from Maryland, you know, he could do that for every person. because he's nigh. And he's waiting for us to call upon him. Even this morning, inside this building, there are people that need to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And even more, there are believers in this room who have lost sight of what true fulfillment is. And if you would come back to him and call upon his name and say, God, I need to walk with you like I used to. God, I want to be in tune with your will. Would you help me? This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, in this room, if you seek fulfillment through salvation in Jesus Christ, we're going to have an invitation, and you can come, and we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you all the scriptures of how you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If you're here and you seek fulfillment, since you've been saved, and you say, Lord, I've not done it right, I've not done it your way, Lord, I need to get back in on your plan for my life. I know you're nigh me. Will you just help me right now and my family? If you're here this morning, you need to be saved. This invitation is for you to walk down an old-fashioned aisle and let us take a Bible and be saved. If you're here and you are a Christian and you know you're on your way to heaven, but you're away from God, why don't you come and fall on your face before him and get nigh unto him, because he's here and he wants to be close to you. Would you just come back to him this morning? Would you stand to your feet as Brother Birch sings it? Would you come? Would you do what God asks you to do? If you need to be saved, I'll meet you in the front.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, won't you step out and come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Boy, the world has talked about so many ways. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid somebody's going to see me or somebody will look at me. Listen, the folks in this room have done just what you did. They've stepped out and accepted Christ the same way. We'll ask folks to keep their heads bowed and their eyes closed, all except for those that need to receive Jesus Christ. If you need him today, why don't you step out and come as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Always sad when folks don't come and walk the aisle and get saved, but this morning I do appreciate you being in God's house, and we'll ask you to come back tonight. And maybe you're here and you've been coming a while. I know a lot of folks have joined recently, and I know a lot of folks are going to be going back north, but if God's been leading you to kind of join this church, we'd love to talk with you about that. We'd love to take the Bible and show you why we're Baptist and why we need you to know you need to come in through baptism if you've never done that. And we'd love for you, if you're attending and you've attended for a long time, I'd love for you to be a part of our ministry and not just be here. We love you. I hope you understand that, whether you're a member or not. All right? But we would love for you to just take that step, amen, closer to us and the Lord. And I beg you, let us talk to you about it. Let us just pray with you about it. Amen. And thank God for everybody that's here. Thank God. I don't know if you heard about the elections. We mentioned it Wednesday night. It went well for Haines City. Thank you for praying. Amen. And so just pray for those leaders. We need those leaders to make right decisions after we pray them in and vote them in. Amen. And so we're going to be asking you today to do this for me, all right? As you go, pray this week for our ministry. I realize this, if we're not careful, amen, we'll get busy with the nasty now and now, and we'll realize, you know, this place doesn't just meet on Sundays. As you go to your work and you do all those things, there are people all over this property every day, and they desperately need to be prayed for just like you. So I'll make this promise to you. I'll keep praying for you if you start praying for us on a daily basis. Amen? We need it, and especially this week. We've got so many things coming up, and pray for souls to be saved. And the best way to get souls saved in the church building is invite somebody to be with you next Sunday. Amen. Invite somebody. There's tracks at the doors. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Caleb, why don't you step up here and take the mic and close us in prayer.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us today, God. Thank you for the wonderful service we had, and thank you for the opportunities in Sunday school and even in church that we got to hear your word, God, to be fulfilled, God, by you more than anything else. Help us not seek it out in the world. Help us pray this week that we see souls saved in our ministry, and help us have a good time and keep us safe going home, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.